Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I bless you and praise you, Holy God, Kadosh, Kadosh, Lord. I pray that the message will come with power, conviction, and with the authority of your Spirit, Lord. May it be a message of renewal as the waters are healing, as the waters are healing vessel, Lord, but may it come with conviction, which is the fire of the Ruach. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is Ha'esh HaMashiach, the fire of the Messiah. My message will be short because Rabbi Mark covered half of the stuff I had to say. So, there'd be no Rabbi Eduardo without the waters of Rabbi Mark. Amen. Praise you, Lord. When John the Immerser is in the wilderness and he's looking out to the people and he's talking to them, he says, listen, I'm going to immerse you. I'm going to baptize you with water, and the water is paired with repentance. And indeed, I need to talk about water for a little bit, because as Rabbi Mark said, you can't understand the fire if you don't understand the water. Amen. So Yochanan, John the Immerser, he says, but he, speaking of Yeshua, who's coming after me, is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That there is something that we should grasp and understand of the element of fire that Yeshua desires to do with his people. And when he's looking out to the people, you got to understand that as John is talking to the crowds that are before him, there are those that are following Yeshua who were in the crowd. And it wasn't just those who were following Yeshua who were in the crowd. There were those who were against him as well. And when John the Immerser says that the one coming after me is going to baptize you with fire, he wasn't just talking to the ones who were following him. The Pharisees who rejected him, the Prushim, and some of the leaders of the Jewish people who rejected Yeshua, they too were going to undergo an immersion of fire. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of tongues. I got more. Out of the mouths of babes, you have declared praise. But John, as he's looking down and he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he has a stern warning for them. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? See, there is something about the status and the intention of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they were going to go through the same fire that the believers were going to go through. But the thing is that the fire was going to have a different consequence, as Rabbi Mark said about the water, for the believers and for the non-believers. So I was laughing as I was sitting there because half of my verses he already used, so we might as well just have used the same notes. Then it goes on to say, he began saying to the crowds who were going out to baptize him, it says in another one of the Gospels, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. See, just the way the elements of the water, as Rabbi Mark shared, they had an effect on the believers, Noah. It had an effect on the children of Israel who were willing to go through, and they benefited from the waters. The waters became healing to them. But the Lord is talking to those who are choosing him and who are not choosing him. He says the fire is going to descend from our God, and it's either going to consume you or it's going to refine you. It's going to purify you or empower you. The same way the waters as the children of Israel went through. Some of them made it on dry land, and they made it into the wilderness. But what happened to the Egyptians that were before them, that were behind them, coming after them, chasing them? The waters engulfed them and destroyed them. Amen? And as Rabbi Mark shared from Genesis 6:13, so embarrassing. Now it's the Holy Spirit. I know, I'm teasing. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. We don't need to read it again, but the reality is that you can't understand the fire if you don't understand the water. I didn't want to step on his toes, but I got to talk about water for a little bit. God is good. Yeah, proves his point. See, they're just the same way there was a water of wrath for those who were disobedient in the days of Noah. Brothers and sisters, there is a fire wrath that is being poured out on the earth today from the God of Israel. First Peter 3:20, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. See, brothers and sisters, as believers in Yeshua, if you've gone through the waters of immersion, it's not about the water, as Rabbi Mark said, but the commitment that the heart has to be consecrated to our God. And when one is committed and you go through the waters as the manifestation of your belief, what happens is that you can be used in a greater way. as you go through the waters, this is when the fire can come upon you. We need to understand that just as in the beginning, as Rabbi Mark shared, when God's Spirit was over the waters, so too there is something of God's relationship with the fire. That God uses fire to declare himself. If there's something special about water, that God is using water in a way for creation, it's because there's something about the properties of water that reflect God's character, as Rabbi Mark was sharing. And it is the same way with the fire, that the properties of fire, what fire is, how fire comes out from a thing, how fire is started, it reflects something about God. From Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." It doesn't say our God is like a consuming fire. It doesn't say our God strives to be like a consuming fire, but indeed our God is a consuming fire. From Revelation 20, verse 7, I want to read this. This talks about the millennium, Jesse's favorite time. "When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." See, there is a lake of fire that exists where those who reject God will be thrown into. And the same Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders and the imams and all those who reject Yeshua, Jehovah Witnesses and Christians who don't really believe in him, and Mormons who aren't professing him, any person who is not fully committed to Yeshua as Lord will be thrown into the lake of fire. And this is a fire of warning. This is a fire of wrath, because for God to be just, he cannot let sin be unanswered. Revelation 20:15, and this is timely for the holy days. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Brothers and sisters, those who don't profess Yeshua, whether you're sitting in these seats or not, I beg you to come to know him. As the spirit of the prophet said in the days of old, to come, turn, abandon your wickedness, and come to know the one who formed you. Because the day is coming where God's fire will come out of his mouth, and it will descend, it will come down from heaven, and it will consume everything that is against him. Amen? But for those who are his, we don't have a fire of wrath awaiting us. Amen? We have a fire of power. We have a fire of authority. We have a fire that purifies us and makes us whole, makes us better to serve our King. Amen? A little bit excited. Rabbi Mark was my hype man. About to remember, John says that he, the Messiah, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this is not a New Testament thing. This is not something that Yeshua's disciples made up 50 years after Yeshua's death and resurrection. Indeed, it goes back to the words of the prophets from Isaiah 4:4. It says, "When the Lord has washed away the filth from the daughters of Zion and purged bloodshed of Jerusalem from amidst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning." This is really, this word is, it's a ruach ba'er. It's about being, that there is a there's a spirit of consumption, a spirit of it really, it's ochel, it's the eating, it's that you'll be burned up from this burning spirit. And one of the first times we hear about an immersion of fire was the burning bush before Moses. "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Moses, in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he, Moses, looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed." It was consumed with it. It was a burning bush. But you know what was so crazy? Moses is there. It's dark. The bush is lit up. And what made him go over was not the fact that a bush was on fire. The fact that the bush was on fire was not a big deal. Fire is something that is natural. Fire is something that exists. He went over because the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. This is a paradox for those in the world who want to be in the world, who want to think about the world. The fire that comes down from God should evaporate us. It should destroy us. Scriptures say that if you scoop fire onto your clothes, that how can you walk away without being burned? But God says that he wants to put the fire of his spirit inside of the believers. So when Moses goes over and he sees this bush that's completely on fire, yet it's not consumed, Moses has to go over to figure out what's going on. I don't know the parts of a bush. Anybody know the parts of a bush? What do you have? Stems? Leaves? Anybody? Branches? Chlorophyll? I Googled that. Can you imagine if the Lord looked down from heaven and desired to set ablaze a bush by putting himself inside of it? And the bush was like, nah, man, nah, don't pick this guy. He didn't do anything all week. Brothers and sisters, we need to be like that bush. Because the Lord is seeking to use his people. If you made a commitment, you've been immersed in the waters, you believe that Yeshua is your Lord and Savior, today is the day, now is the moment to go deeper with him. The Lord is not playing games, amen? I want to be like that bush. Anybody else? I want to be like that bush. I want to be so consumed with my God that nothing else matters. I want to be so consumed with my God that my attitude doesn't matter, or the things that bother me don't matter, or life circumstances don't get in my way. I'm not talking about being a hermit and going into the mountain and hiding from the world, but I'm saying, Lord, consume me, and that with your fire inside of me, may it burn up anything that is against you. And whatever is for you, Lord, may you ignite it and make it more powerful. Make me more dedicated, Lord. Send it down, Lord. Bring your fire down from heaven, Lord. We've committed. We've entered the waters, Lord. Take us to the next place, Lord. Remember, because Yeshua walked with his disciples for how long? 3 years with his disciples. Lunar calendar, extra month, Jewish year. How many days? Maybe like 1,000. I don't know. This is the point. All that time they believed in him and walked with him and saw his miracles and they had a close acquaintance with him. But they never experienced the fire till he left. You could be in this congregation your whole life. Congregation's not that old for some of you. But for some of you, we are. And you could be here your whole life and never experience the fire of the King of Israel. May this moment be the moment. And it comes by his spirit. Just the same way that there are the waters of the spirit, there is the fire of the spirit. Yeshua says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. He does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. These things I've spoken while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This is what we need, brothers and sisters. We need to be so close in line with God and his Spirit that he brings to remembrance his words, that we are changing our lives, that and not just that we're living as better believers, but you ever take a candle that's on fire and put it next to another candle? That fire will catch. May we be willing to set ablaze people for our God. Amen. And in the pouring of the Spirit during Shavuot, we know what happened. The tongues of fire descended on the believers. And then they began to speak in what? I thought you said Talmud. Tongues. Okay, tongues. I thought you said Talmud. And when they began to speak in tongues, what did the people say? These people are drunk. They're tipsy. The reality was that they were speaking in all the language of the people around them. So what? What's the point? From Genesis 11, we learn about the Tower of Babel. The man had become full of himself, as much of mankind is now, as most of mankind is. And then they built a tower and said that we will reach the heights of heaven and we will be where God is. We will exalt ourselves. Look at how great we are. This is when all of the world spoke one language. Man lifted himself up against God as we do now, and God in his sovereignty and power confused the minds of the people. And he gave them multiple languages so that they could not exalt themselves so highly. And what God does during Shavuot with the element of fire is that he undoes this pride of humanity. He undoes the willingness of man to lift himself up. When man lifted himself up during the Tower of Babel, God brought them down. He confused their tongues. And now we today, if we lower ourselves, the Lord will lift us up by his fire and unite us. But we need to be a people that are willing. Are we a people that are willing? As I look over and I see all of you, from leaders to my wife to my baby to friends, older, younger, all different places of life, all different walks. I look and I see, it's like, I think about like video games, right, where, you know, you play Call of Duty and you got people's stats on top of their heads and you got to shoot them. Nobody does that? All right. Sorry, I need to repent. So I feel like as I look over the crowd, right, it's almost like there are icons of your gifts and abilities that are on top of you, right? To serve, to give, to bless, to teach, to love, hospitality, to be a leader of a congregation at some point, to do many things that God is calling us to do. And yet we sit in the seats not willing to embrace the fire of God. Lord, may your fire fall now, amen? May you change us now. May you make us consecrated now, Lord. May nothing stand in the way. In Yeshua's name, amen? 1 Corinthians 12 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, brothers and sisters, the same Spirit that was over the waters of the deep, that filled the waters, is the same Spirit that filled the bush with fire, and it was the Yod Heh Vav Heh, the one true God, Yeshua the Messiah, in the bush. So too, this same Spirit wants to set us as bushes, as on our way to death. He wants to set us ablaze with his fire. Yet we say no. I don't want that much fire. It's too hot. I prefer the cooler weather. Let us not put any excuses up, right? Let's embrace the heat of the King, amen? Let's be made whole. Let's be made complete. And you know what? When you get that fire, you can go out and set others ablaze. Because remember, the outpouring of the Spirit of God was for what? It was so that the disciples can make disciples. And they make more disciples, and those disciples can make disciples and make more disciples. So what? So that the whole entire world could be set ablaze for the King. Not just saying, yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, I'll get immersed. Yes, Lord, all these other things. Because we make those things shallow. Because if you really got immersed, if you really were consecrated to him, you'd want that fire more than anything else. You'd do everything you can to get that fire. But we don't do it. Back to your gifts, you lovely people. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same fire, the same waters. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God is not holding back from any single one of us to give us gifts to move in power and authority. God is not holding back. It is us. Amen. May we be changed. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. God is desiring to use every single one of us. May we be submissive. Don't be the bush that said, nah, dude, don't pick me. Be the bush that says, set me on fire. This is like a bush? I don't know. Send me a blaze. The reality is that us in and of ourselves, you can sit there with your two rocks as much as you want. In this condition, we're all from the city. We can't start a fire out of nothing. I can't. If making a fire to cook a piece of for me to cook a piece of fish on a fire, I would die. My life would be over. Amy would save my life, because she could probably do that. For us to be set ablaze, we need to come close to the flame of our God. Amen. This is the only way we draw close to our God, then we can be set ablaze for him. And indeed, as Rabbi Mark shared, this is the same way Yeshua. Yeshua, being fully God and fully man, he needed to submit himself to what God had called him to do. What the Father had set him up to do. What the Father had ordained for him to do. It wasn't just, you know, Yeshua would be kind of good if you go in the water, just to give him a good example. No, it was about submission to God that Yeshua needed to go into the waters. A commitment, a focus. Brothers and sisters, as we decide to be focused and to go into the waters, this is when the heavens will be opened up and the Spirit of God can descend upon us. It's not about the water, it's not about the fire, but it's about the Spirit of God and our willingness to walk in God's ways, our willingness to abandon sin, our willingness to abandon this world. Let me tell you something. If everything is not on the table for you to give up, you have idols before your God. For me, I want everything to be on the table. DJing, music, where I work, what I do, who I hang. Lord, I want everything to be on the table, Lord, because if anything's not of you, send the fire down and consume it. And it should be the same focus for every single one of us. Amen? And when Yeshua came up from the waters, the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove and lit upon him. And behold, the voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." There is no neutral. Every single one of us are going to experience the fires that come from Yeshua. Every single one of us, believer, not believer, every person who has ever been born will face the fire of the Mashiach. This is the point, the immersion of the fire. Will it bring you closer to your God? Will it purify everything that is against you, that is against him, everything that is in you against him? Or will you be destroyed by that very fire? Will you spend, see, because it's interesting, you go to the book of Revelation, as Rabbi Mark shared, it starts off with water, it finishes off with water. Fire's in the middle. Fire is the purifier. We're all going to feel it, we're all going to experience. How are you going to receive it? What is it going to be for you? It's all based upon the decision we make. Amen. And I want to read this last verse because I think it's an important one. And this is a verse for every single one of us, no matter where we're at. And I know some of you are skimming it right now. It's okay, you're cheaters. But it's an important verse. And this verse speaks to us now. And it's interesting, you know. The disciples being there experienced some fire being with him, even though the immersion of the Spirit didn't happen yet. There is something about the life that we live that it is as if it's a fire around us. There are the fires of the trials. Kids misbehaving. Husbands getting on your nerves. Jobs not hiring you or letting you go or not making enough money. Not being able to pay your bills. Not being able to go to the school that you want to. There are all types of things that is a fire around you. Sometimes it's hotter. Sometimes it's a little cooler. But there is always a blaze around us. How will we respond is what God is interested in. The fire might not go anywhere. As we live this life, we're always dealing with the fires of the trials and the fires of temptation. But which do you submit to? Do you submit to the fire that is outside of you, or do you submit to the fire that is inside of you, which is Yeshua the Messiah? So I want to read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Does anybody want to go? Anybody want to go? Anybody want to be there? Anybody want to be there? And look, we are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation is coming, brothers and sisters. The train of being in the kingdom of Yeshua is on its way. It is moving. Are you on the train? In this you greatly rejoice. It's funny, you know, I see so many people upset and mad about life and mad about things, and I get that too. I get mad and I get upset about things, right? But is our rejoicing in what God has done greater than our circumstance and our situation? I'm not talking about being fake, and I'm not talking about being phony or weird. Don't be weird. Don't be phony. Don't be fake. Life is hard sometimes. But if we can get to a place where our great rejoicing in God is greater than our circumstances, if our perspective is a kingdom perspective, all this other stuff will not matter. May we be a people in a community that's not worried about this other stuff. We're not worried about crying babies or people not having enough money to pay this thing or that thing or having these problems in the family. May we deal with all those things the way we need to deal with them, but may we have joy in our God. And this is what the Brit Chadashah is telling us, to bless the Lord because he's done this thing, that there is a great salvation coming in the end for us. And in this you greatly rejoice. Not you. Who's he talking to? But we need to greatly rejoice. We need to have joy insurmountable that sometimes if somebody's mean to you, it doesn't affect you. Your circumstances don't faze you. People don't like you at work. People don't like me at work. It doesn't faze you. I just want to go into work with my kittel on and my tali and just be. And this is the big part. In this, you greatly rejoice. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. And though you've not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's the kind of way I want to be known. When somebody describes me, this is the way I want to be known, that even though I got all this stuff around me, I got all these issues and all these problems and all these things that could affect me, but I have inexpressible joy because of my King who's coming. And you know what? If you walk in that, it'll be contagious and others can have it and you can pass that same fire. We're all going to go through fire. Just the same way as Rabbi Mark was sharing about the water. Remember, when you're born, you have an amniotic sac around you in your mother's uterus. I think that's right. If you disagree, send me an email. But I think that's how it goes. I don't know. But the baby's in there. I think it's like that. I just don't know the name's amniotic sac. I think it is. But you're in there. That the very waters that nurse you and make you whole, there are waters, too, that will sip in the book of Revelation. But after you come out, there's fire. You know, when Aiden was first born, his oxygen level was dropping down to like 50, 40. And, you know, as soon as he was born, and I laid hands on that sticky baby, and I prayed for him that God would open up his mouth and that he would be able to breathe. But seconds, his breath came back to him. For that, I should have inexpressible joy continuously because the Lord gave life to my baby when he was losing it. That one thing that God did, that one thing should have me happy every single day and not angry for any other reason and have inexpressible joy because God is so good. But yet I forget it in the midst of anger and frustration and all the problems and the stuff that surrounds. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. The Lord is speaking to every single one of us. May we be a people that remember the moments that God delivered us from, the salvations and the gifts and the wholeness and the miracles that we've seen. And if we are focused on that, we will have inexpressible joy before him. And here it says, and what's funny is that it doesn't even say that the Lord's delivering you out of these trials. It says you're going through all these various trials and you have inexpressible joy because of what's about to happen. In this life, we've experienced so many things that the Lord has delivered us from. We should have inexpressible joy. add on top of that the eternity that we're going to have with the King, how much more so inexpressible joy? And if we do this, we too will be like that burning bush. And people will look at us and say, you're on fire, but you're not consumed. You're on fire, but you're not consumed. This is the immersion of fire that we need, because fire is coming from the King. It would either destroy you or set you ablaze and empower you. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father King, Lord God, you are a good God, faithful to your promises, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would send your fire from your spirit, Lord. And when that fire comes down, Lord, may it consume everything that is contrary to you, Lord. And everything that is of you inside of us, Lord, which is your spirit, may you set us on such a blaze and such a fire, Lord, that no thermometer can control it, Lord. No thermometer can record it, Lord, that we are set ablaze for you, Lord. And that we will set others ablaze too, Lord. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Praise the Lord.